will guide us as we concentrate on the things that are to follow in our study. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Yes, I do. I wanted to have a poop sheet here. In here somewhere. There's got to be somewhere. Oh, give me about a minute or two, or three or four. I really had a lot to say.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it's underneath your platform there. It got pushed underneath your shelf.
Oh, really?
Right there.
Ah. I would have never looked there. Thank you. You remember Quentin Swofford. He was the director of Glen Haven Youth Ranch for a good long while. He's spoken from this pulpit before. And I've been down there, as some of you have, on occasion. Down in Arkansas. He passed away recently, and we send our sympathy to his wife Beverly and their entire family. He was a good man and therefore worked at Glen Haven for a good long while. In addition, please remember to pray for all those in California affected by the terrible fires, and especially pray for the Lord's Wall of Fire to protect Ben and Cindy Zissner and their property. Ben and Cindy have visited our church before. They live in the area of Los Angeles, Culver City, I believe, among several other little towns within the Los Angeles area. And the place has been on fire for several days. People have died, or it's over 11 or 12 now. But it's a devastation of the real estate. Everything is being burned up. And you may ask the question, in all of these years, how is it that one fire can overwhelm tens of thousands of acres over a period of about a week or two? How did this happen? Things like that don't happen unless things were not happening beforehand. I'm not going to get involved in it, but you can figure it out on your own. Poor decisions limit future options. That's the bottom line on that. And it's still going up in smoke out there as we speak. And Ben and Sydney are just one couple. They're just one couple among many who have now nothing to go back to. They've avoided this. But there's so many around them that have no place to go back to. So remember Ben and Sydney, they're fine. But so many in their area are without anything. And I will say to you, when it's poor decisions that limit future options, and the people that make the poor decisions are those in power and have been for a long while, and made decisions based on ideology rather than good, hard facts, it can destroy a pristine area of California. If you've ever been to California, you know what it looks like down there. It's very nice until the fire started. Also, another Dorito, Yvonne Seville, she isn't near the fires but has had her power shut off because it might start a fire. The temperatures in California have gotten down into the 30s. Please pray for Yvonne Seville.
Joe,
yes.
Also, on the prayer list, we need to add Charles Funk.
Yeah.
And Sharon Sessions.
F-U-N-K is the surname, Charles Funk. Where do they live, Joe?
Tyler.
They're down in Tyler, Texas, and Lynn is someone we knew when we were down at Baraka, and they've married a guy named Charlie Funk, and he's had some problems, and therefore, please pray for her and that family. Any others? Okay. In our study, let's see where I left off. There's got to be a place around here somewhere because I had my poop sheet. I think I left off on page 434. Page 434 at point 48. We did rebound, didn't we? You're continuing y'all have not sinned since then. Okay. Let's resume at point 48. James's illustration is from the agricultural economy of the first century AD. Farmers understood the vagaries of each season's weather. Some years' climate included early and late rains along with plenty of sunshine, while others have too much rain, not enough rain, cloudy days, strong winds, and occasional drought. If you go into farming, there's an ebb and flow. Good seasons, good harvest. Bad seasons, poor harvest. To orient to these idiosyncrasies, the farmers must have a relaxed mental attitude, knowing there are good years, bad years, and others somewhere in between. Therefore, the logistics of human survival in an agricultural economy, which is the context of the letter of James chapter 5, provide farmers with a variety of circumstances entering each year's growing season. Nothing new about that. Weather in the countries east of the Mediterranean Sea has its impact on the nation of Israel and an understanding of its climate idiosyncrasies. So we took a brief look at this during our study of James 5, verse 7. I went to research online and in the books that I have in my library and went back to see if I could discover some information on what the weather was like in Israel during biblical times. You'll see the insert here, idiosyncrasies of weather in this region, meaning Israel, lesson JAS 5-30. I taught that on 15 October of 2023. If you want to know about that, it's simply maybe a 5 or 6 minute read on the weather in Jerusalem and in Israel in particular, in the first century A.D. Now, we learned that these weather issues vary and therefore are good years for harvest, but also poor ones for which farmers must be alert, prepared, and patient, which he is able to do based on his status quo spiritual maturity. That's called a relaxed mental attitude. There are going to be good years and going to be bad years. The conclusion of this illustration by James gives us the following expanded translation of the verse. Again, we have James 5, 7. It's in your notes now. And we'll repeat this and then move on to verse 8. Therefore, have patience. That's a constative, aorist active, imperative mood, number 42 of the verb makrothumeo. That's imperative mood number 42 of the letter of James. Members of the royal family of God, until the coming, parousia, that is the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord, that's the rapture, it's imminent. If it's the next prophetic event on the agenda, and all we know about it is that it is the thing that is next as far as divine intervention is concerned, it could be tomorrow, or it could be another 100 years or 1,000. But that's what happens next. So that's what we've got. James adds two more imperative moods in verse 8, again, to be patient and to strengthen our hearts. You too be patient. Again, aorist active imperative mood number 43 of makrothumeo, it means to strengthen. Aorist active imperative mood number 44 of sterizo. strengthen your hearts. That's the cardia. That's how you think. For the coming of the Lord is near. In other words, this refers to the rapture of the church, the next prophetic event on the divine agenda. So therefore, it's a prophecy. This verse opens with a repeat of the command from verse 7, the aorist active imperative of makrothumeo, same verb, same morphology, the command to be patient by means of the daily intake of Bible doctrine, which is accumulating in the soul. Divine capital can be spent in the super grace life. You can't apply what you don't know. So here's a concept that emerges constantly in Scripture. You can't apply what you don't know. Now, I'll throw this thing out here on the there. The two guideposts in this Bible. One has to do with absolutes. Think this way, speak this way, act this way. On the other side of the coin are the negatives. Don't think that way. Don't speak that way. Don't commit an act that way. What are the that ways? Whatever the context is. And so you can learn how to make good decisions from a position of power, or if you're ignorant, you make poor decisions from a position of weakness. What's the guidepost? Scripture and its imperative moods in Scripture. There's going to be 55 of these by the time I'm done with James 5. 55 imperative moods. And when I get to the expanded translation, which I'm working on now, you're going to have all of the verses in James, and you're going to have all the imperative moods noted with their expanded translations. All of these either say, do this or don't do that. And that's just James. Every book in the Bible has imperative moods. One says, think this way. The other says, don't think that way. The things you can say and not say. Things you can do or not do. Learn what they are. And then organize in your thought processes to facilitate these guideposts. Therefore, you can be a good soldier for Christ. You can't apply what you don't know. The intake of doctrine is a starting point. That's where you have to begin. Doctrine, as that's gnosis, cannot be applied. Not yet capital. It's not something you can rely on. You don't know it. If you do know it, you don't understand it. That's what James said at the beginning of his letter in James 1:22. But keep on becoming. That's the present middle imperative mood number 12 of the verb genomai. Keep on becoming doers of the implanted word. In other words, if it's implanted, then it's in your memory center. So do that. And not be just hearers only who deceive themselves due to self-induced stupidity. I don't do a lot of this, but I stumble on it on occasion, and I'm sure you do. You're running through there looking at different things to watch. And you find yourself, you've logged on to a church, and they're having some kind of service in there. It's not a stoic congregation like we have here. You're seated. You're paying attention to me as best you can. Some people bring bullets to bite, but nevertheless, on occasion, you may have to clear your throat, but that's about it. But there are people in churches that parade around the room, do the boogaloo and all these kind of things. And that's on television. And that's supposed to be a really good way to grow in grace. Learning how to think is hard. And you don't really agree with all of the things that it says you're really supposed to do and think and apply. So, when you came here, everything that crossed your mind was something you felt like you could do and get away with it. And then you grew up, and then there was these rules and regulations people had, like in schools. I was not a good student. I felt it was a waste of my time to have to show up over there for something like 6 to 8 hours. It would seem like forever before that 3 o'clock bell would ring. And I would say, free at last for just a little while. And I would go out. And then the next day, back there again. And there were people in there called teachers with algebra, math without numbers, English with things like verbs. Apparently, you people are not bothered by this at all. I was horrified by it. Then I listened to a tape. I was fully grown, had 3 children, and I listened to a tape. That got my attention, and I began to wonder, is there more to this than it seems like? There must be more to this. And I got to paying attention, and I found out about a guy way out yonder in Houston, Texas, that taught every day from the pulpit at his church. He said, every day? Yeah, every day, including Saturdays, which was a movie. And before the movie would play, he would say, today's movie is thus and so, and here's what you're going to see. Here's some of the doctrines that you'll be able to catch as we go through the movie. Then he'd tell us about that, and then they'd roll the film. There wasn't a day that went by that there wasn't something to learn at that church. I decided we'd move out there. That's got to be pretty good. So I told Joe Hinder one day, I said, I think we're going to move to Houston. And then we did and stayed there. Somebody called me. I went out for pastor. I found a guy that ran the show down there. I said, I'd like to try out for pastor. I'd like to learn how to do that here. They said, fine, do this, that, and the other thing. I said, I'd like to start teaching again. It's a way I could worm my way into teaching the oldest group of students in prep school. Says, well, we do have a guy that teaches the sixth grade. That's what they call it. And says, but he's going to be transferred to Omaha, wherever it was. And he says, probably in the next few months, you're going to need somebody to replace him. So I'll put your name in the hopper. I said, great. So a few months went by, and therefore he said, next Sunday you're going to start teaching in sixth grade, prep school. I said, rammer jammer, buddy, I got it. And so off I went, and I started teaching whatever they said I could do. They didn't put any restraints on me other than it had to be true. And I did that until I left there because a guy named John Smith, I thought he was fooling me. Nobody's named John Smith, but he was named John Smith. And he said, we're about to lose our pastor. He's going to go back over to Omaha or somewhere. And he said, we're trying out for pastors. I said, I want you to try out. I said, well, okay, when do you want to let's do that? So we worked all of that out, and I came up here. It was in a gymnasium down in St. Louis County called Chesterfield Day School. People attend their children there. All the way up through the sixth grade. So I knew about that. So I came up here and I taught some Bible classes, and then I rolled off back down to Houston. They were going to vote as to whether they wanted me to come up here and bore them. So the phone rang and says, we've decided to have you come up here and do this. And you know what time of year it was? Late December. I came up here in November. And I bloviated, and then I went away, and they voted. And I said, I can't do that right now. I got stuff in Alabama I got to get to come up there. Can we just put this off till January? My first Bible class officially here was the 23rd of January of 85. Like a week or two later from right now will be 40 years. Oh, yeah, right. Same kind of weather. And here all y'all sit. And I'm looking across the room to see who was it that I that's one right there. You will not hear yet. There's one on the back row. You will not hear. There's one that was here, probably in the prep school, as a student. There's one right there, possibly, pretty close. There's one, I think. 40 boring years. What have we got here? Same kind of thing going on in James. What does it say here? Keep on becoming, this imperative mood number 12, doers of the implanted word. Keep on doing that. You got to know it first. Not hearers only, who deceive themselves due to self-induced stupidity. Everybody needs to admit to the fact they're stupid. Okay, I know, take it algebra. How I passed that, I don't know. But I had to take it because you can't take algebra. You have to take algebra at that high school I went to. You have to take it in order to graduate. I have no clue how that happened. I can say the word algebra, but that's the end of it. How I got out of there, I don't know. Math without numbers. And James 5:8, makrothumeo, means to take doctrine into the soul where the Holy Spirit makes it objective information. See, if you can think, you can be objective. But before objective information can be utilized, you have to take in the information, then you have to apply it. Before objective information can be utilized, it must be advanced through positive volition to the level of epinesis. Now, I'm told I'm supposed to say epinosis, but that's not where the accent is. And by the way, when you have a gamma before a nu, then the gamma is pronounced as an N, epinesis. Check it out in your grammars. Is the soul that we have Sophia, wisdom. Here is when the word becomes capital, available for application. What's capital? Knowledge that you have that you can recall and apply. The constitutive aorist tense of have patience refers to every time you, as a believer, apply Bible doctrine. You can't apply what you do not know. This is the lifestyle, therefore, the super grace believer. Now, do you have the Colonel's book, Themes Doctrinal, I can't remember the name of it.
Dictionary.
Yeah, but it's more words. Bible Doctrine Dictionary. Themes Bible Doctrine Dictionary of the Bible. Okay, it's alphabetized. That's good for me because I didn't learn the alphabet. And you can flip in there and you can find things like makrothumeo. Not that word, but the verses. And we see it here, makrothumeo in James 5:8. What does it mean? Strengthen. Makrothumeo means to strengthen, become more powerful in your thinking and your application, you see. Good stuff. Stability is what it means. Be firm, render, to be constant, to confirm one's mind. The aorist tense of stirazo. So when you have a Z, then you have to put a D in front of it. In the transliteration into English. That's why you see the D there. You say, well, there's no D. It's torizo. You can't say carizo. You've got to put a D in front of it. See that? It's an idiosyncrasy of English. Storizo. Produces action. It's imperative mood, which is a command for the believer to maintain stability. Storizo in his heart. That's the cardia. That's how you think. What's in your cardia? You can apply what you don't know, and that's what cardia is. It's the thought process. So the thought process contains all you know as far as application is concerned. In biblical times, the use of the noun cardia for heart focuses on the mind and its functions in several categories to include, number one, frame of reference, have to have some idea about what's being said or written, a memory center, something you can recall to therefore embellish what you're reading, and three, your vocabulary, you know the definitions of the terms that are being discussed. If you don't know any of those things, you can't grow in grace. That's why you have to come to boring Bible classes for a long time. The focus in our mentality or our mind, which clarifies the fact that the invisible war and battleground for thought. Now, Paul refers to this system in 2 Corinthians 10:4b. We tear down arguments. Who are these we guys? Well, that would be Paul in 2 Corinthians in verse 5. And every arrogant obstacle that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obey Christ. Stabilizing the heart or the mind for the believer is accomplished by a construction of the edification complex of the soul and entrance into the super grace life. Now, if you want to review that, the doctrine of the edification complex of the soul is from JAS 524, taught beginning on 27 September of 2023. In your computer, you can click on that and go to that study, if you're interested. The expanded translation of James 5:8, as far as we've gotten, reads like this. You too, be patient. Constantive, aorist active, imperative mood, number 43 of the verb makrothumeo. That's patience. Strengthen, aorist active, imperative mood, number 44 of the verb sterizo. Strengthen your heart's cardia. The cardia has to do with how you think, your inventory of ideas. You can't think beyond what you know. This is followed by a second prophecy of the rapture of the church, first by the causal conjunction hati, translated because, which introduces the second mention of the text of the next event to occur in the divine prophetic agenda with the phrase, quote, for the coming of the Lord is near. And he wrote that in 45 A.D. It was near then. That's the point. Next prophetic agenda on the process. In 45, he was looking for the rapture then. This is James, first guy out in the New Testament. The perfect tense here is imminency. The rapture of the church. The verb in gizo is in the perfect tense, and it means this. It keeps getting closer all the time. Since 45 A.D. Many people have been born and grown up and died since it was ready to happen anytime. Why the holdoff? Why is he waiting? The longer he can put off the second advent, the longer he can put that off, the more people will have the opportunity to learn the concept of eternal life through faith alone in Christ alone. When does planet Earth become so vacuous that only a very small group of people have any concept of the eternal future? Because they've rejected everything. They don't do the Bible, don't know the Bible. They don't know how to think, they make it up on the fly. And if you want to see examples of that, just remember the last 4 years. I'm old enough to tell you, I was born before World War II. I've seen a lot of things transpire in this country. And when I was in my early 20s is when I got logged in to the Word of God and its absolutes. All told, it's better than 50 years. And as a result of that, I have been able to discern the zeitgeist of client nation America dwindle and shrink as far as its freedoms and concepts are concerned. We're in drastic shape. And this past 4 years illustrates the fact that as a client nation, we teeter. And there's nowhere else to go. You can't go past the shores of the Pacific Ocean. Then you're in Russia. And they want to kill us. Who is it to pull these fats out of the fire? Don't know. We got a guy that's going to take the office here in about 15 days. Can he pull it off? Don't know. But apparently, there's an opportunity. The perfect tense here is the imminency of the rapture of the church. Always been that way since at least 45. In Gizo. Keeps getting closer all the time. Remember, under the doctrine of the imminency of the rapture, it can occur tonight, tomorrow, the next day, but not ad infinitum. It will occur at some point. With the understanding that the coming of the Lord refers to the rapture of the church, we have the following expanded translation of James 5:8. Also have patience. Do you have a relaxed mental attitude? Aorist active imperative mood number 43 of the verb makrothumeo. That's having patience. All of you become stabilized. Can you have a relaxed mental attitude? Can you get by? Can chaos be going on around you and you can remain calm? Aorist active imperative mood number 42 of sterizo. Stabilized in your hearts. That's your mentality, what you think, what you know. Because the coming of the Lord, that's the rapture of the church, has approached, and the result that it is drawing nearer and nearer. It was drawing nearer and nearer in AD 45, continues to be the case now. Point one, chapter 5 continues with this citation from verse 9. Do not complain. Aorist active imperative mood number 45, the verb stenazo. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. That waked the nodders, you see. Judge is standing right at the door. We've already studied in verses 1 through 6 the principle of monetary reversionism. Now we go into the second type of reversionism addressed by James in this chapter, verbal reversionism indicated by the opening phrase of James 5:9, do not complain. In other words, you're bloviating, whining, and mewling. Do not complain. Present tense is customary, which means it occurs habitually under such circumstances. Within the mindset of reversionism. Now, I already told you, if you want to do reversionism, we've got it all back over here. We've already done that. Stenazo, see? Imperative mood of stenazo plus may is a command to stop committing the sins associated with verbal sinning. In other words, when you start talking, it can be a sin, it can be a thought, verbal, or an action. All these things can cluster together in one event. That's verbal sinning. The active voice of stenazo plus me, and James's use of the vocative plural noun adelphos, brethren, indicates that it is the believers in his congregation who are being called to, quote, stop complaining. Everybody's complaining. Why complain? You're in a zeitgeist. You're in a church. You're listening to the communication by James from a pulpit in Jerusalem. He is raking them over the coals mentally. Think this way. Quit thinking that way. Quit saying this. Start saying that. Stop doing that. Stop quitting that. It's all in the scripture. It's one or the other. and it's filled. This thing is filled with this. All this in there. All these imperative moods. The imperative mood says, think this way, say it this way, execute it that way. And then with a negative, it says, don't do any of those things. So you have to learn them. And then why is it and how is it that you can get that inventory in your soul? There's a thing in the church age called a local church. And the people in power now hate this. Yet we drove up here scot-free today and walked in this room. And you sat down, and I've been bloviating now for the better part of 2 hours. And you've stayed. And this is just one Bible class. This is Bible class number 2 today. And the question that has to emerge after every Bible class, are you one step closer to having your mind informed by the absolutes of the Word of God that you can recall and apply on whatever the occasion it happens to be and know that you've made a good decision? The active voice of stenazo plus me, James's use of the vocative plural noun, adelphos, brethren, indicates that it is the believers in his congregation who are being called to stop complaining. Quit whining. Stenazo plus me is a mental attitude that, when pressed by circumstances, results in complaint and distress, impatience, or ill humor that result in sins of the tongue, including complaining and criticizing, maligning and judging and slandering. Targets of this reversionism abroad and sundry, by which one is spared, therefore friends and co-workers and employees, teachers, and worst, parents, siblings, and dangerously includes fellow believers and even worse, pastors. He's always bloviating about something. James gives further clarification against whom and how these believers are complaining with a prepositional phrase, kata, means toward or against or down upon, plus the genitive plural noun, alelon. And alelon means one another reciprocally or mutually. And so at this point, we pause in our study to consider the characteristics and destruction of this verbal sinning with a view toward the doctrine of the sins of the tongue. So in your computer, you'll see that this is highlighted. It's a link. You can click on that. It will take you to the doctrine of the sins of the tongue. It comes from J.S. 555, which was taught on 11 February of 2024. In this imperative mood number 45, James is calling out fellow members of the royal family of God for grumbling and complaining against one another and then telling them to stop it. Quit whining. Okay, let's go back. To this. Oh, it must be the other way. There. Let's finish up our study today with this expanded translation. Stop criticizing. The primary particle of qualified negation, may. That's stop. Plus the present active imperative mood of prohibition of the verb stenazo. Stop. For example, groaning and sighing and murmuring and grumbling and complaining, whining. Who is it directing this to? Brethren. Plural noun, adelphos, referring to the members of the family of God. Stop criticizing fellow members of the royal family of God against one another. This is a prepositional phrase, kata. It means toward, against, or down upon, plus the genitive plural noun of alelon, alelon one another reciprocally and mutually. Stop criticizing, brethren, against one another so that you yourselves may not be judged. Because there'll be divine discipline associated with the act if you do it, thought, decision, or action. So there's James 5:9 as far as we've gone. Now, what follows this proceeds on the other pages. I'll give you a little intro to that, and then we'll have to wait till Wednesday night to resume. Next, we have the purpose clause associated with imperative mood to stop criticizing, introduced by the English phrase, so that you yourselves may not be judged. And then we have the beginning of it. It starts with the conjunction hina, that, or so that, in context. And it's followed by the phrase may not be judged, which is the constative aorist passive participle, subjunctive. Aorist passive subjunctive of the verb krino, which means to be judged or disciplined, plus the negative may, which means not. And the passive voice of the verb krino indicates that a reversionistic believer who ignores James's imperative mood will become the recipient of divine discipline from God. You've been warned now, so don't do that, and if you do, discipline follows. The subjunctive mood goes with this negative purpose clause indicated above, and the constative aorist collectively addresses every time you will be judged for these sins of the tongue. It's ongoing. Well, that gives you a heads up about what we'll do on Wednesday at James 5:9. We'll resume our study at that point. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of gathering here today in order to delve into your immutable word. We now have within our souls more information on how to think, how to speak, and how to act. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We lift our prayer of gratitude to you because of these things as we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.